Good morning, everybody. Welcome to you all. Lovely to have so many of you who are visitors here this morning, and some of you coming back after a long time. Just for those of you who don't know me, I'm Stuart Barmer, the pastor here, and it's good to share the service this morning with a number of other people. And I'm going to say especially to have Paul back this morning, who's going to do our first talk slot that he's generated down to the younger ones. We know we love those times, and he's going to do our main Bible talk as well before he leads Epic Explorers this week. Tonight is going to be prayer time, so we're going to meet here at 6 o'clock. We're going to have an introduction. Paul will share what is going to happen during the week, and then we're going to pray for it. So that's what tonight will be. And then when we've prayed, there's just a little bit more setting up to do. Thank you for those who've been busy already doing all of this stuff. But we need to clear this room out and get this room set up for tomorrow and the rest of the week. So that's what tonight will be. And if it's a little bit shorter than we normally have, well, those who are involved for the rest of the week will breathe a sigh of relief, can go home and get an early night. We're here this morning, and we've come to worship the Lord our God. Music team, if you'll come and join us, I want to introduce, we're going to sing the song, We're Here For You, and it's got a line in there which just asks for the Spirit of God to come and fall on us. We're here for the Lord. We are, the Bible says, we're as his people to give ourselves as living sacrifices, and we want the Lord to come and take us and find us as acceptable sacrifices this morning. And there's a passage in the Old Testament that my mind went to thinking about this. The great time when Elijah the prophet was on Mount Carmel doing battle with the prophets of Baal. And there was this contest. And this is what we read. At that time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel. We want for the world to know that there is a God in heaven, don't we? We want them to know that he's our God. We want them to know. We want to know as well. So our prayer is that God would know. Answer me, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you, Lord, are God, that you are turning their hearts back again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. May that be our experience, our heart sense this morning, that the Lord, he is God. Let's come and worship him. As we come to him, let our praise be your welcome. When we've sung this, remain standing. A short prayer, and we'll sing a second song.
We fire fall down.
Only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Stand in your presence this morning to worship you and to say, Lord, we are here for you. We want to be your people. We know that nothing's hidden, so we can't try and hide. But we thank you that you're a God of love and a God of grace who wants to give good things, way better than we could take for ourselves. So Lord, we invite you by your Spirit, come to speak to us. Come and minister to us. Would you receive these sacrifices of our hearts and lives as we open them up and lay them down for you today, for your glory. Come, our Father, by the Holy Spirit we ask. There is no one like you. No one has done the things that you've done. Who has held the oceans in his hand? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at your voice, and all creation rises to rejoice. And we rejoice in you as we sing our worship to you. Who has held the oceans in his hand?
blessed are him. Behold a king, nothing can compare. Come let us adore him.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you. I'm not being rude on my phone. I need my phone to do what I'm going to do. I'm not, you know, checking the cricket or anything. Right, so are we good at listening? Yeah, if I'm to be really stereotypical now, I'll be talking to the men. We're not very good at listening, are we? But are we good at listening? Are we good at listening to God? Are we good at listening to God? I want to just tell you, well, everyone, but children this morning, a story from the Old Testament about a little boy called Samuel. Yeah, not that Samuel, but Samuel, can you come up and help me? Because you're the only Samuel in the building who fits the profile of 1 Samuel chapter 3, okay? So, hi. It's good to see you again, by the way. You all right?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Right, now, Samuel, this boy we're talking about, we know a lot about this boy. We know about him as a man as well. He was a good chap, okay? He was laying in his bed one night, and he heard a voice. He heard someone call his name like this. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this, okay? We might get a bit of double. Sorry, Martin, because I need that mic. Okay, and I want you to listen carefully, okay? You ready?
Samuel! Samuel!
Okay, who? It wasn't God. No. It was Stuart. Next best thing, yeah? Yeah? Okay. It was Stuart. And this boy that we're learning about called Samuel, he heard his name being called just like that. Samuel, Samuel. He didn't think it was Stuart. He didn't know who it was. He went running to a guy who was also sleeping in another part of the temple called Eli. I am talking to everyone. I feel like I'm just talking to you, Samuel. Sorry. This is embarrassing for you, isn't it? Yeah. He went to this guy called Eli and he said, look, what do you want, Eli? I didn't call you. So he went back to sleep. Then he hears another voice. You ready for this?
Samuel! Samuel! Oh, I didn't pick it up. If you turn it down. Turn it up again, Martin.
This is the best one.
Samuel! Samuel!
Still think that was God? That's Peter. Yeah, he's good at it, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah. So he heard this voice again for the second time, and it wasn't Peter. He goes running to Eli. Come on, Eli, who was it? Did you call me? Waking me up again. He's like, no. Go back to bed. I didn't call you. So he goes back to bed. Third time, he hears another voice.
Samuel. Samuel.
Ooh. Do you recognise that voice? Yeah, who's that?
Granddad.
It's Granddad. Yeah, it's Granddad. Okay, so Samuel wakes, not you, the Samuel in the Bible, he wakes up again, he goes back to Eli. Look, you called me, I heard my name again. Now, Eli wasn't Samuel's granddad, so it wasn't his granddad calling him. He says, I'll tell you what, it's what Eli said to Samuel. I'll tell you what, Samuel, go back to bed, and next time you hear the voice, say, Lord, here I am. What do you want? Okay. So he goes back to bed and he hears another voice, Samuel. You ready for this? See if you recognize this voice.
Samuel, Samuel.
Who does that sound like? That's Dad. Yeah. Yeah, right. You can go and sit back down now, Samuel. Well done. Okay. It was Dad. And this time, Samuel doesn't go running off to Eli. He doesn't think it was your dad either. Okay. Because he wasn't born then. Okay. And he doesn't go off to Eli. He goes, Lord, here I am, if that's you. And God answers him and says, yes, Samuel, it's me. And I need you to listen to me because I've got big plans for the people you live with, the nation you live in, and for you. And Samuel was willing to listen to the Lord. And actually, God ended up using Samuel to find one of Israel's best kings, David. He used him in a really big way. Now, if we're not willing and have the faith to listen to God, we might miss out on the plans that God has for us. So that means it's really important that we listen to God. And there's lots of ways we can listen to God. We can pray and he answers like that. We can read our Bible. But the best way to listen to God, to respond to God, is by seeking and looking for Jesus. It's by listening to what Jesus has to say for us. That's the best, most effective way we can respond to God. And when we do that, God will show us what he wants us to do for him. So I hope you're all attentive to God this morning. Thank you. Let's sing again. Let's praise God. Thank you, music team. And I'm working from memory. Is it Lord, I Lift Your Name? It is. We'll sing that together. Thank you.
Just here that things are happening. We are part of the church. The church is bigger than us, and it's good for us to know what's going on around the world. And we often have particularly evenings where we're praying for the global church. We're praying for people in other countries. Just down the road is a town called Dis, and there's a few churches there, but there's one church that I know and know the pastor there particularly well, Dis Baptist Church. And they've got an event going on in a week's time, and 2 weeks' time. Carl, you tell us, come and tell us when it is. That's why you're here. So Carl and Beth have come all the way from this morning to tell us a little bit about what's going to happen in a week, a month, or 6 months, or whenever it is. Over to you guys. One of you can have that one, and one of you can go on the next.
Hello, it is a month. as a church, we're hosting an outreach event at the Dis Park called Life Fest. And it's going to be from 2 p.m. on the 2nd of September. And there'll be live music from local bands, so one called World Without End, and then he lives in Wales, I think. And then there's kids' activities. There's a rally car there, and there'll be stories and like food stalls and yeah, lots to do there. So yeah, Saturday the 2nd of September from 2 p.m.
I'll use this one. Yeah, thanks, Beth. Yeah, what we'd really, really like is your prayers for this. This is the second year we've done this. Last year was just, we just went out in faith. We had no idea if anybody was going to turn up. You can't buy a ticket. It's not like Big Church Day Out where it costs you 80 quid to turn up or whatever. So we had no idea what was going to go on, but people came. We just set up in the park, just to the left-hand side of the Ford garage there near the pavilion. We had a band playing and we had different things going, and we just preached the word of God from the pavilion through music. We had a marquee with children's work going on, and people came. So in light of that, we thought, well, let's have another go this year. So here we are. So September the 2nd, it's Life Fest number 2. So we just appreciate your prayers and your help. So if there's anyone who thinks, oh, well, I don't really know what I can do. Well, if you can help in any way and you feel as if you want to help, just let me or Beth know. We're going to be at the back or the front, whichever way you look at it, afterwards. We've got some of these little leaflets that we can give out. So if you want to be involved, you'd be really, really welcome. And so we just want your prayers for that people will come along for a start. We have no idea who's going to be in the park on that Saturday. For safety for everyone, as we set up and we take down, we've got this guy, Rob Westall. He comes all the way from Welsh Wales, and he's quite famous. So if you can get on the internet and look up his name, he's got a new single out, which he's released, and you can watch that on YouTube. Pray for us as we put up the marquees and stuff. And, you know, if you think, oh, I'm not very good at putting tents up, but when we did it last year, the most important person who came sat on a chair and read the instructions. You know, we got this bag. It was massive. We got everything out. Poles, bits, pieces, canvas. Without somebody reading the instructions, we were going nowhere. So we appreciate your help for that. And just, I wasn't going to say this, but I was. But yesterday, Tracy and I got invited to a 90th birthday party. That's the highlight of our week. And the guy there, he doesn't come to our church now because he can't get out, but he's such a godly man. And he did a little talk and he read from the Bible. And he said that when Jesus died, Herod and Pilate found no wrong in him. They didn't know what to accuse him of to crucify him. He was totally blameless. And then when Jesus hung on the cross, dying for you and me, he looked at us and he didn't know why there was nothing in us to die for us because we were sinful. He looked at us and he didn't know what to do, but he still went through the torture and the pain to die. And we can't do anything to gain our own salvation. So, you know, what you guys do next week in your holiday club and what we're going to do in September on that park, that's not our works. Our works mean nothing. But we're just there. We're there to plant the seed, to show people the way to Jesus. You don't know what's going to happen next week and what people are going to think, but just plant the seed, put joy in your heart, and take it to the Lord in prayer, and God will do the rest. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, guys. You are a strange breed in this. You've got men that read instructions. Thank you. So what time does it start on the Saturday? 2 p.m. Okay. Excuse me. Which one did you drink? That's the right one. We're going to come and pray. We've got a lot to pray for. If you think it's strange that I don't pray for the Holiday Club, I will mention it, but our main prayers for that will be tonight. Okay, so if you're able to come back tonight, that would be lovely. I know many of you are visitors, you're on holiday and that kind of stuff. I mean, of course, you'd be welcome to come back this evening, but I'm talking here for those of you who are part of our church here. If you could come back tonight, we're not going to embarrass you by asking you to be praying out loud. We will do praying out loud, but the point is that we're together as one and we're showing our oneness and our agreement with it. So just a little appeal to come back out tonight for our time of prayer for the Holiday Club, because Carl's right. You know, we sow the seeds, and any fruit that's going to come from that, it's going to be God, isn't it? And he's going to move in response to our prayers. So let's come and pray right now. We've got a number of things and people to pray for. Father, we thank you for the privilege of holding in our hands the word of life. Thank you that you've given us the privilege of sharing this word of life. So we do bring to you this life fest that the church at Dis are going to be putting on in a month or so's time. Lord, we pray that your spirit will rest on every part of that day and on the preparation. And we pray that there'll be lots of people that will go and all will walk past. And as they do, Lord, we pray that you will drop a seed in and that you will speak by your Holy Spirit and you will start something that ends up with those people opening their hearts and gladly coming to trust and follow the Lord Jesus for the rest of their life. We thank you that we're not the only church. Thank you that we're part of a global church, part of a bigger church in this area. So we pray this morning for the church at Dis. We pray for the church at Horan. We pray for the church at Laxfield. We pray for the churches in Harleston. We pray for the churches in our villages and further afield that know you and love you and want to offer out the gospel. Hear our prayers for these churches, for the fame of your name in this area. Lord, we do pray before you. We lift up the Holiday Club here this week and commit that to you together as a group this morning. Lord, would you hear our prayers and would you give us a heart and hear our prayers as we pray for that tonight. We thank you for the children that have signed up. We thank you for the parents that gives us contact with. And we pray that this will be a really, really fruitful week. Well, we know that your heart is to save people. Jesus himself said the Father's will is that people will look to the Son and those who do will be saved. We thank you that that is your heart. That is why Jesus came. And so we pray that you will do that. Father, we want to pray for Leah this morning as she goes off with Asia Link this week. Lord, we thank you for her. Thank you for all her ministry and service in the coffee shop over the last 6 months. And as she goes off to university in a few weeks' time, we pray your blessing on her and your guidance and the sense of your presence with her. But Lord, for this week and the next couple of weeks, we pray for her as she goes into unfamiliar territory, as she joins up with others, people that she doesn't know, to do a ministry that she doesn't know, going places that she doesn't know. Lord, we pray that you will be with her and grant her your peace and grant her safety. Grant her your presence, we ask. We pray for Mum and Dad and her family who doubtless they'll be following keenly. There'll probably be a high level of anxiety and concern for her. Lord, may they know your peace as they entrust Leah, their girl, to you for this fortnight or so of ministry and service. Go with Leah and use her and the team to expand your kingdom and to strengthen your people that she speaks to. Father, we want to bring little Eliza to you this morning, and we pray that she will be strong enough this week for that operation, and we pray that it will be a complete success. We pray that she will be strong and she'll have a good recovery. We pray for the surgeons and all the people that will be looking after her. Give them wisdom and skill that they can do the most they can for that dear little girl. We pray for Callum and Emma that you will be with them. Keep them strong. Keep them a sense of your presence. We pray for their parents, for Eliza's grandparents. Thank you that they're all here this morning. We commend these families, this one family joined together around this little girl. And we ask for your presence and your peace with them. We pray that we might see wonderful things for the glory of your name. We pray for one another. Lord, you know that in our church family here and in this gathering in this place today, we come from different backgrounds. And some of us are walking in the joys of life. Others are still walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us are living with uncertainty and anxiety for ourselves or members of our family. Lord, would you come and minister to us in your own unique way? Speak to us, reassure us. Thank you for your promises that they are all yea and amen in Jesus. Thank you that not one seed falls to the ground. Not one promise has ever not been true. Thank you that you're always the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we pray for one another. For those who are older and feeling the frustrations of older age, cannot do what they would want to have done. Perhaps feeling frustrated that they can't get involved as much this week for Holiday Club. Maybe worried about what the future holds for them as they feel health and strength gradually shifting. Lord, we lift them up to you. And Father, lastly, we would just pray for those who would once have been here with us, but whose love has grown cold. Lord, we pray that you'll stir in their hearts, that you'll show them that you're a good God. You'd show them that you want the best for them, that you'd show them that life is better with you than without. God, stir in the hearts of our children and our grandchildren, our natural born children and grandchildren, in our spiritual children and grandchildren. Lord, would you woo them to yourself again? And now, Lord, as we come to hear your word, as we listen to it being read, as Paul opens it up to us this morning, give him your words, give him your heart, give him your spirit, your anointing, that we will hear your voice this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Really good to be here. Me, Jane, and the family, thank you for having us back. For those of you who don't know me, consider yourself blessed. turn to John 4, please. We're going to read that in a moment. Just want to quickly say, we'll say a bit more tonight, but yeah, it's Holiday Club this week. Starts tomorrow, goes all the way through till Friday, 10 till 12. It's going to be absolute carnage and craziness. It's going to be loud and noisy. But we're going to share with the children the amazing good news of Jesus. And for all the fun we're going to have, I hope that that's what they hear as well this week. So do pray for us. We're really looking forward to doing it. We're nearly ready. My bunting engineering has not worked, so we have to sort that out. But yeah, good. Okay, let's get on. Let's read from John chapter 4. And going to read the first 26 verses. I think you had the first 21 verses down, so they may not, the end bit may not appear on the screen. So this is an account of Jesus, and it says from verse 1, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee." And this is the bit we're interested in. "Now, he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman.'" And they didn't like each other, for those of you who don't know that. "'How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty, and I have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Okay, let me just pray. Father, help us now as we come to your word, Lord. Lord, we believe that you speak to us through it. And we believe, Lord, that you've got something to say to us this morning through the way that Jesus talks to this woman, Lord. I pray you'd help us to hear, take it in, Lord, listen to you today, and that you would do something in us, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, now, in a moment, there it is. Anyone remember this film? The Eagle Has Landed. Yeah? Anyone under 40 remember this film? Yeah? The Eagle Has Landed. It's a great film. It's actually a film that came out of a book. And the book was written by a guy called, well, his author's name, his pseudonym, if you like, was Jack Higgins. And Jack Higgins actually wrote 60 novels. He sold over 250 million copies of his novels. And while he was alive, I think he died last year, he had a net worth of $86 million. Wow, not bad for writing books, eh? And he was asked what he would have liked to have known as a boy. What's the one thing you wish you knew as a boy, you'd have known as a boy, that you know now? And he said this, that when you get to the top, there's nothing there. When you get to the top, there's nothing there. And you know, that's an extreme example, to have $86 million and to be at the top of your game and realize that actually still isn't fulfilling me. We actually all suffer, I think, with this feeling of trying to fill a void in us, don't we? Of trying to find some kind of inner peace. We go to great lengths sometimes to find a solution to this problem in ourselves. We invest huge amounts of time, energy, and sometimes even money into finding a solution to that void, that gap in our lives. And you could say, if you like, to fit into this story quite nicely, that we have a thirst. We have a thirst in us that we seem unable to quench for vast periods of our lives. And in this story, we read Jesus saying, "I am the living water that will quench your soul's thirst forever." And there's lots of things, but there's three things that we can learn about ourselves in this story this morning. that will help us understand why actually we all need Jesus, all of us. And the first thing that I think this story shows us is this. I need to admit that I am dehydrated. I am dehydrated. You see, in this story, Jesus gives an invitation to this lady that just seems too good to turn down, doesn't it? Let's look at verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered this lady, he said, everyone who drinks this water, meaning the water in the well that she's gone to get water from, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. So he gives her this invitation. And this lady, you know, she thinks, hey, this sounds too good to be true. I'm in. Where is this water, Jesus? Show me. Because I could really do with some of this right now. We see that in verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I have to keep coming here to draw water. So even though she hasn't yet fully understood what Jesus means, she doesn't need any persuasion because she knows that she has a need. She says, look, I don't have to keep coming back here. And if you can stop this, then, you know, let's do it. Let's go for it. But here's like a question that I think we need to ask. Why would she not want to come back to the well? Because she's not fed up of collecting water. She needs it to live. That's just a normal thing that they did. But there's something about going to collect the water that reminds her of her own mistakes and of her current situation. And we kind of need to understand what's going on in first century world to get this. But in those days, the women, they did the job of collecting water. That's what they did. That was their job. And actually, this was a bit of a social event for women to do this. It was kind of the only time they would be away from the men, yeah? So they all together, can you imagine what they talked about, yeah? They're all going together to the well, having a good old chat about, you know, how much their husbands annoying them, or how great they are. Or maybe they weren't even talking about the husbands at all, men, yeah? Yeah. But they were just doing that, and it was an opportunity for them to get together and talk amongst themselves. It's kind of like a first century equivalent of Friday night cocktails, yeah? It's kind of as good as it gets in first century Judea. Yeah, it was a get-together. They also collected water early in the morning to avoid carrying the water jars in the heat, because that would have been hot, wouldn't it? Yeah? Remember those two things. All the women went, it's a social event. They went early in the morning because it was hot. Remember that. And then we get to verse 6. Jesus there, he's tired. He sits down from his journey, sits down by a well. It was about noon. That's really important that John's put that in there. He's put that in there for a reason. He wants us to know it's noon. And are women collecting water at noon? No. It's way too hot. But then we read, a Samaritan woman came to draw water. So a woman comes to draw water at the time they don't draw water, and she seems to be on her own. That's really important for us to understand. That's why John's put it in here. Why was she alone? Look at verse 18. The fact is, Jesus is talking to her. He said, you know, you have no husband. She's like, yeah. And he's like, you have no husband, you're right. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. You see, she has a deep void in her life because she is being shunned by her community. She is being isolated and alone because I don't want to sound a bit flippant. She's like the first century Joan Collins, yeah? She's been shunned by a community. She's isolated and she is alone. This is the only time she can go and get water. She is spiritually dehydrated and she knows it. She knows that she needs something that is currently missing from her life, something that not even five husbands and a living boyfriend can fulfill. Nothing can rehydrate her soul like Jesus. And nothing or no one can rehydrate our souls like Jesus. But first of all, we need to know that we need rehydrated. That's the point. We need to be in that place. And that brings us on to the second point here, which is stop drinking things that dehydrate you. Jesus says, he's referring to the water in the well, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. When I was younger, about this time of year during the summer holidays, I was always playing either football or cricket all day, and I would stay out all day, wouldn't even go back for lunch, you know. But I would take out with me like a 2 litre bottle of drink. But the trouble is, it's a 2 litre bottle of fizzy drink. You know, I used to burp like Jabba the Hutt, you know. It was and sorry, James, that's too much. Yeah, okay. And, you know, we used to play football and get really hot, and I'll gulp this fizzy drink down, you know, big 2 litre bottle. And the thing is, it never quenched my thirst, so I just keep drinking more of it. And I'll drink, you know, this big 2 litre bottle of fizzy, go home, drink more fizzy. I absolutely loved it, but it's like the more fizzy I drank, the more thirsty I got, so the more fizzy I drank. What I didn't realise is that fizzy drinks have loads of acid, which just make you thirsty. And it wasn't until I got older I realised that what I was needed was water, which was far more effective, not just for my thirst, but for my entire body. So what's the point? Why am I saying that? Well, I was trying to quench my thirst with the wrong fluid, with the wrong thing, wasn't I? What I was doing was the opposite of what I actually needed. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, look, this water from the well, you know, you will be thirsty again. Because he's saying to us, you haven't understood that your soul is thirsty, and that's what needs quenching. Your life is thirsty, and you don't know how to quench it. And you could say that Jesus is recognizing that we are spiritual beings. You know, we're not, as scientists would have us believe today, we are not temporary structures originated from stardust that will just go back to dust. That's not us. We're spiritual beings. We're created by God to be in a living, loving relationship with Him. The big lie of this world, if you don't mind me saying, is that we're not spiritual. The big lie of this world is that we're not spiritual beings, we are material beings. Yeah, the big lie of this world is that this is all there is. Why is that a problem? That's a problem because it means we are trying to quench our spiritual thirst with material things. It's like we have this deep spiritual thirst, and we're trying to quench it with fizzy materialism. It just won't work. It won't hit the spot, if you like. This is what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It might be today, even this morning as you sit here, that God is showing you something about yourself. He was showing something to me about myself as I prepared for this. Something about our desires, our obsessions, our goals, our dreams that maybe we hadn't realized. Maybe today it might be starting to make sense to you, because you realize now, maybe, actually, I've been searching for material answers to what is a spiritual problem. So here's the third point this morning. Jesus can quench your thirst. Verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. How is Jesus able to make this claim about himself? How does Jesus know that he's the one that can fill the void in us? How does he know that? How can he say, look, I'm the peace, that the satisfaction that you crave? How can he actually quench our spiritual thirst? As I say that, I need a drink. Well, here's how. Because he became thirsty like us, so we could be satisfied and quenched in him. When you read about Jesus' last days on this earth, it just becomes very clear what's happening. Let me just read Matthew 26, verses 38 and 39. This is the day before Jesus is going to die on the cross, and he knows what's happening. He knows what he's going to have to bear on that cross. So he goes with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. He says to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Then, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. You see, the day before Jesus dies on the cross, he asked God, is there another way to deal with our sins? Because he knew on the cross he would be separated from God while he bore our sins instead of us bearing them. And he knew there would be a moment as he bore those sins that he would be thirsting after the presence of God. And that overwhelmed him. And that bothered him, as we can see in this prayer. And then on the cross, Matthew 27, read this, verse 46. He's on the cross. Listen to these words. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took the punishment for our sins that we've committed against God, our loving Creator God. If you like, the sinless Saviour became Saviour for us. And at that moment, when he bore, when he took on him every sin that had ever been committed, God turns his face away, because God is holy. He can't look on sin. He turns his face away, and Jesus cries out for the presence of God. Why have you forsaken me? At that moment, he was thirsting after God's presence. And the reason why that is so important and links into this story is the same cry that Jesus had at that moment, that's the cry that we have. But the point is that we don't understand it, do we? We call it a void. We call it something missing. We call it there must be something more. But Jesus knew that that lack, that emptiness in him and what we experience is where the presence of God should be. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus fills it. He's the answer. He is the water of life, as he calls himself a few chapters later. And it's all because of what he's done for us. I'm just going to read a verse from 2 Corinthians 5 that some of you will know well. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him, that's Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, so that we might be right with God. You see, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, it means our sins can be forgiven. That void that's pushed us away from God, yeah, it can be sorted. The void, the emptiness, the search, the thirsting is over, because Jesus fills our hearts and lives with living water. Jesus can quench your thirst, your spiritual thirst. So, just a thought to wrap all this up this morning. I want you to imagine this morning, put yourself in the place of this woman in the story. And I want you to imagine that this woman traveling every day to the well represents our lives. Her life is affected by her past, her mistakes, her choices even right now in her life, which means that she has to hide from certain people. She is isolated. It skews her perspective, what she can have, what she can't have, what she thinks about herself. To get what she needs to live, she has to travel a distance in the heat. To collect the water, she has to let her water jar down into the well. She has to reach down, pull it up, hoping it is full. And she has to repeat this process with all these emotions, with all these demands every day. This woman discovers that Jesus can transform her life into a well that doesn't need traveling to every day. Into a place where she does not carry shame and she's not isolated. That Jesus can transform her life to a place where she doesn't have to reach and dip for water. But actually, Jesus gives her water that spills over and never runs out. And he gives it freely. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. And so it may be that you are already a Christian this morning, but somehow you have stopped maybe loving, trusting, relying on Jesus, and you feel empty. Well, I want to say to you this morning, come back and enjoy Jesus today, who gives you living water that he says springs up. Can I say, maybe God's saying this morning, maybe you've got your priorities mixed up and you've been drinking from the wrong well. And it may be that you're in this building this morning and you wouldn't say that you're a Christian, but you know you have this empty space. You know you have this thirst to be filled up with something to satisfy you. And you've tried and tried, and sometimes you've been successful, but like the writer we learned at the beginning, it's short-term, it's temporary, it doesn't really do the job. You want peace, you want comfort. Well, Jesus is talking to you today, and he is asking you to respond to his invitation to be right with God, to trust him, to know him, and to have that peace and satisfaction like waters that flow out of your heart. Music team, come up and lead us as we sing. It's a song of invitation to come and know God. And as we sing, we can think about our priorities, whether we're drinking at the right well, if you like. Come to Jesus this morning. He loves you. Thank you.
Can bundle the host of heaven. Who else could make every king bow down? Who else can whisper and darkness trembles? Only a holy God. What other beauty demands such praises? Splendid. Christ would offer his only son. Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a holy God, only my holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only, rioting holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only, rioting holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the
Be seated. We're just going to pray. Just close your eyes if you're able to. We're just going to pray. Just as you got your eyes closed and thinking about what Jesus has been saying this morning, there's just one thing I just want us to notice about this story. This woman's life was in a right old mess, wasn't it? But do we once read Jesus judging, condemning her? All we read is him offering her living waters to come and know him as her saviour. So the call to Jesus this morning is not to condemn you, it's to invite you to come and know real life, real forgiveness, real peace with the Lord. And so, Lord, I want to thank you because you say to us, Lord, you say to us, come as we are. Right now. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to improve ourselves before you accept us. We just come as we are, Lord, this morning. And so, Father, help us to receive what you have for us. Help us to turn our attention, Lord, away from that which has been distracting us onto you, Lord. We pray for those waters that overflow, Lord, those waters of life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord. We didn't deserve any of it, but you did it because you love us. So we just give you our thanks now. Thank you, Jesus. In his name. Amen.